Take your Bibles with me. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Before I preach, I asked Ryan to come sing a special. No, I'm just kidding. Just want to see his face. Mark chapter 7. We started this series last week on the phrase we see four times in the Bible, so much the more. We're going to kind of go through a progression of our Christian faith and our Christian walk based on this phrase that we see in these four passages that it's mentioned. I was thinking before the service I should probably switch the last two around. It's a good thing I haven't got there yet, but we're going to switch the last two around. And we started this series, and I'm excited for the things that God has revealed to me through this phrase, and the things that we need in a day such as time as this, and what we need so much the more in these days. And I was just thinking during that song, friends may fail me, foes assail me, but Jesus is there. This week has been kind of hard. Sunday night we got a call that Emily's biological dad passed away, and Wednesday we get a call that Miss Sharon passed away, and Wednesday night a preacher that I've known since I was real young, actually yesterday, just in my Facebook memories, it popped up a picture of me with him at an ACE convention, came to light that he was sending inappropriate things to a teenage boy from a different church. He had an influence in my life. I always loved his preaching. But what almost breaks my heart more is the way that Christians are responding to it. There's not a biblical response to it that they're following, and there's a lot of people excusing the actions, and there's no excuse for it. But then there's a lot of people that are placing their condemnation in their own hands, and that's not biblical either. And I just thought of those words, and I didn't expect it to hit me that hard. I picked that song before that even came to light. And friends may fail me, and foes assail us, but almost just as much as what he had done hurt the cause in the name of Christ, the way Christians respond to it can do just as much damage or pile on top of that damage. And we need to make sure we're responding biblically when things happen like that. And so we want to lift up the name of Christ, and we know that men may fail us, but Jesus never fails. And we're thankful for a friend, such a friend to sinners. And I wasn't planning on talking about that at all today, but then that song hit me, and I'm like, man, maybe it needs to be addressed how we handle things. But it goes right along with so much the more. So much the more we need to be guarding our hearts before it ever gets to that point. So much the more we need to be on fire for God and speaking truth, and so much the more we need to be in our Bibles so we know how to handle these situations when they come. So much the more we need mercy, as we talked about last week. We need the mercy of God. So much the more. This phrase is meaning a lot to me this past couple weeks. So if you found your place, and I'm sure you have, I gave you plenty of time, but Mark chapter 7, we're going to start reading in verse 31, if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. It says, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that is deaf, and had an impediment in his speech." I sound like I do right now. "Had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue, and looked up to heaven. He sighed And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, or Ephphatha. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but it is to say, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Let's open a word of prayer, and we'll get into this part two of So Much the More, and I've titled this part, The Compulsion to Make It Known. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the day you've given us. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with me, Lord. That you'll remove distractions, and you'll remove myself, Lord. Just help me to step aside and allow you to do a work in this place this morning. Lord, I just am so thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for the grace. And shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Lord, help us to so much the more look to you, so much the more serve you, and to love you with all our hearts, and to guard that heart with all diligence, for out of it the issues of life. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with this service this morning. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So we talked about there are four times in Scripture that we see this phrase, so much the more. We see it in Luke 18:39, which we talked about last week in relation to the blind man Bartimaeus. And so much the more he cried out for mercy. Though the world tried to shut him up, though even the Pharisees probably rebuked him and told him to stay quiet, and they had made a commotion that made him curious to ask, "What are you guys going about?" And they said that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And we talked about how when Jesus passes by, good things happen. Jesus passes by; he doesn't leave people the same. We pray that Jesus passes by in Bethlehem Baptist Church and does a work here and changes us. We pray that Jesus will pass by in Viroqua, Wisconsin and do a work that no man can explain, but won't leave Viroqua, Wisconsin the same as when he came. We will be looking at Mark chapter 7 today, and so much the more the compulsion to make it known. So we had the compulsion to the cry for mercy. We had so much the more the cry for mercy. So much the more the compulsion to make it known. Luke chapter 5, or we'll probably look at Hebrews 10 next. Growing spiritually as a church, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. And then Luke chapter 5, the coming for more. The excitement. We talked a little bit about that last week. Last week we talked about in relation to the lost, so much the more the good news needs to be shared. The good news needs to be heard. Heard by our words and seen in our lives. The things of God are exciting. We talked about that last week, but oftentimes we come to church and we sit in a pew and we just look, twiddling our thumbs and just look bored in church. That we're just here for a duty. But how often do we go to a sports game or something and we're excited about it and we're telling, oh, get off your phone. You're going to miss what's about to happen. You're going to miss the touchdown. You're going to miss that great pass. You're going to miss the basket. Or we sit in a tree stand and we're like, hey, wake up. You know, wee hours of the morning. Wake up. You know, you're going to miss the deer. It could come and go before and we won't even know what was here. How often do we treat God like that? We're gonna miss the touch of God. We're gonna miss the Spirit passing by in our church because we're too busy just caught in the mundane and just going through the motions. We saw a commotion that was made. The blind man, he couldn't see it, but he could hear the excitement and the emotion of Jesus coming to pass by. So much the more. The good news needs to be shared and heard. So much the more there's a desperation, a desperate need for mercy. not just in the world, but in our churches. For revival of the church and for salvation of the world. So much the more we need an unwavering faith. So much the more we need to give God the glory and praise for what He does. This week we're going to talk about in relation to the saved. And next week we'll talk about in relation to spiritual church growth. And then the last week, we'll have a week in between because the Frews will be with us. But the last week we'll talk about in relation to church's physical or numerical growth. But this morning I want to look at what the saved needs to do so much the more. Last week we talked about a world that was spiritually blind. And this week we'll look at a world that has never heard. And man, that's near and dear to my heart. You guys know my heart on the deaf community here. But how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without someone that knows their language that can share the gospel with them? I grew up in this area and I've never known of a deaf ministry on this side of the state. In an hour radius. The deaf are the least reached demographic in America and the third least reached in the world. 90% of the deaf people in America, there's 11 million, so that's 10,230,000 deaf people have never been to church. And only 4% of deaf churches in America, or 4% of Baptist churches in America have a deaf ministry. That's a sad thing. They need the gospel just like anybody else. And there's a world that has never heard the gospel, but there's a world also that can't hear the gospel. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so we see Jesus, and I know we just had a Brother Roth here, and he preached from this passage, and we're going at it at different angles. I really appreciated his perspective on things, having been with the deaf community many years, and actually, the more I share this with a couple people, but the more God opens these doors, the more I'm just certain that this is where God would have us be, doing what God is having us do. I got a call just this last week and said, hey, someone sent me information on your tent meeting, and he said, I am on the board for Silent Word Ministries, which is where Jacob Roth comes from. That's their board of missions. They have 34 missionaries sent out of there. Two of them are deaf, but they're all missionaries to the deaf, trying to help churches start deaf ministries. And he said, I am semi-retired from deaf ministries. He said, but I retired in Holman, Wisconsin. And he wants to come help us as much as he can. And he said, now, we have a conference for the Silent Word Ministries the week of your tent meetings, but I'm still going to try and make it down there one night, he said, and I want to get to know you guys. I want to meet you and your family and your son that's hard of hearing. And he said, I want to be a help to your church in any way I can. And it just solidifies in my mind that we're where we're supposed to be, doing what God wants us to do. He just keeps opening these doors and giving me connections. And we already have a deaf missionary from Falls Baptist that is willing to help us start a deaf Bible camp at Living Waters if it goes well. And if we get a good turnout and things, and he wants to help start that in our region. Even the guy that contacted me from Holman used to be on the board of directors for Bill Rice Ranch, which has a deaf Bible camp. And so it's just the way God is lining these things up, I believe that God is in it. So we see a few things in this passage. I'm going to share a few observations. I wouldn't really call them points, but I'm going to share a few observations from this passage. But we see verse 32. It says, And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Notice the supplication that we see. It wasn't the blind man begging for God's healing. It was these others that had brought him They brought the ailing one to Jesus. That's our great commission, is to bring others to Christ, to go soul winning, and to, the Bible says, to go out to the highways and byways and to compel them to come in. That's our duty. That's our job, is to bring them to Jesus. And so we see they brought them to Jesus, but then they prayed on behalf of the ailing one. It's not always good enough just to show them the way, but we need to be, like I said in Sunday school hour, we need to be bathing it in prayer. We need to be flooding Viroqua, Wisconsin from our church with prayer. We need to be flooding the John and Romans with prayer and praying over them as we go out. And sometimes as I'm walking there, if I don't talk to someone for a while, I'll just start talking to the Lord. Lord, use this one that I'm hanging on this door and on this door and on this door. We need to be praying over it before we go out, but maybe even while we're out there hanging them on the doors, we need to be praying that God is going to use that. They prayed on behalf of the ailing one, and they said, Lord, touch him, heal him, change his life. You've never passed by someone and left him the same as you came by. Change his life. So much the more the world needs our prayers. We see the supplication, and then we see the answered prayer in verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude. I want to stop there for a moment. Sometimes God needs to get us all by ourselves to make us realize we're not alone. Sometimes God needs to remove us from the distractions that are around us. And there's another passage where he took a man by the hand and led him away from the multitude. Sometimes God needs us alone so he can do a work in our personal life. And I think part of this is we'll get to in a little bit, part of it was because he didn't necessarily want it to be a public example. He charged them that they wouldn't go and publish it. So he took them away from the multitude to do the work in private. But oftentimes we need to get alone with God and allow him to do a work in our life for his glory. And so he took him away from the multitude. And we see in verse 33 as we continue, it says, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Not only will his ears be opened, but his mouth would be opened as well. And straightway, his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Now that's an interesting one to me that I didn't really notice till Brother Roth came, that he spake plain. I don't know how many of you have talked to a deaf person that tries to talk or heard a deaf person try to talk, but even Canaan, we even with his hearing devices on, there's so many words with like M's and N's or B's and D's that are so close in decibels, only 100 decibels apart. And so it's hard for him to hear those, even with his hearing devices. And so you'll hear him say, instead of no, you'll hear him say mo. He's been getting better as he progresses. But you'll hear the different way he tries to form his words, because that's how he hears it. What goes into the ears comes out of the mouth. So we have this deaf man, and we don't know if he was born deaf or if he became deaf. But we have this deaf man, but that not only was his were his ears open, but his tongue was loose and he spake plain. That's a miracle in of itself, that God just put that language into his mouth. And so we see the answered prayer, and in verse 35 we see his ears were opened, the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. We see the answered prayer. So we had a prayer on behalf. You know, God can do things according to his will, but God can't answer prayers that are never prayed. Yeah, he may make those things happen, but if you don't pray for it, then it wasn't an answer to prayer. It was just God's will. We rejoice in the things that we pray for. We rejoice in answered prayer. We see that he answered the prayer. And if God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, we can claim that promise in our prayers. We're not a name it, claim it. Oh, if you pray for $1 million, if you say, God, I'm claiming $1 million today, God's not going to give you $1 million. He's not going to help you win the lottery and things. That's not how that works. But the promises and the will of God that is clearly placed out in His will, that His word will not return void, that He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, we can claim those promises. That He will never leave us nor forsake us. We can claim those promises and we can say, God, you've promised that your word will not return void. Be with these John and Romans that say, go out and Lord, help people to open it. Because His word won't return void, but they're not going to get His word if they don't even open it. Help them to open it. Help them to read it and to actually look at it and ponder it. That they may receive your word. And you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so in our prayers, we say, Lord, you, I want to pray according to your will. And yes, God knows that not everybody's going to accept them, but He still says, go tell them anyways. But it's not His will that any should perish. And so we ought to be praying, Lord, as we have been, Lord, help a soul to be saved and added to the church. We know we're praying according to your will. And we'll give you the praise for it and the glory for it. But the great miracle of God performed was that His hearing was restored and His speech became plain. It was easily understood. There's many times when we have to interpret Canaan for people. We have to tell them that he's saying this. You know, sometimes he hears the words or the sound at the end of the sentence and puts it at the beginning, so he says po instead of help. And there's times when I don't know why, but he calls his speech therapist Chin. Her name is Paige, and calls her Chin. You know, and that's just how he hears it. And but there's times where we have to interpret him, even for his speech therapist. I have to say, oh, this is how he says this. We've learned it in context of what he's talking about, or he'll eventually point it to things. But this man spoke plainly. He was easily understood by others. And so much the more we need to see our prayers for the world answered. This goes back to last week, asking in faith, nothing wavering. We need to see our prayers answered, but are we asking in faith? Are we asking with unwavering faith? So much the more we need to be praying for the world, and so much the more we need to see answered prayer in this day and age. So much the more. Number three, we see a charge in verse 36. He said, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But why would Jesus not want them to publish the miracles? And many times in the Bible we see he asked them not to publish it. Well, why would he do that? He's telling us to go tell all the world. But his purpose was not to come and heal physical ailments on this earth. It was to conquer death once and for all. That was his purpose on this earth. His purpose wasn't to, oh, bring all these people to me for physical healing and go publish it so more people will come and be healed of their blindness and of their deafness and of their dumbness and of their and being lame and not being able to walk. Just bring them all to me and I'll heal them all. That was not his purpose for coming to this earth. His purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. So he asked them not to make it public. He didn't want a following because of the miracles that they saw. And later, he eventually did. He had a following of over 5,000 plus women and children. And they sat down on the grass and they ate and they saw miracles. And then shortly after that, he said, you're following me because I'm providing for you. You're following me because of the miracles I perform. And many of them left. And then he turned to the 12 and he said, will you also go away? Peter says, where would we go? Thou hast life. And so we see he didn't want this following just because of the miracles they saw. He wanted them to have the healing that could only come by faith, not by sight. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Today we have a new charge. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:18 and verses 18 through 20, we have the Great Commission to teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you whithersoever thou goest, even unto the end of the world. And so we see the charge went from tell no man to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and go and teach all nations. We have a new charge today, and that's not to tell nobody, which we happen to do a lot, but to tell everybody. And so he gives us this new charge that so much the more we need to listen to the charge of our Savior, and so much the more we need to go share the gospel and allow it to be heard to a world that's never heard. Lastly, we see the publishing and the astonishment. Verse 36, he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying that he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. They made a big deal about it. Is the gospel still a big deal to you? Is the gospel still, it changed your life at one point, but is it still working in your life? Is it still stir you every time you hear our great Savior? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Do these songs still stir you to grace greater than our sin? Man, are we still stirred by the gospel? Is the gospel still a big deal to you? If it is, then go publish it. Go share it with others. And then they were amazed beyond measure. When was the last time that you stood amazed in the presence of God and the work that He's done? Man, if all He did was save us, that'd be enough to thank Him for it. But He continues to do a work in our lives. He continues to draw us closer to Him. He continues to perform miracles today. Even our son. 43 minutes without a heartbeat. God still, we've been studying in the disciple making fellowship tables. God raising Lazarus from the dead. God's still doing that today. We serve the same God. And God is still at work. And oftentimes we forget to just, oh, it's just happenstance. Oh, it's just a coincidence. No, God's at work, and we need to stand beyond amazed beyond measure what He's doing. We often sing the song, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Do we? And wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Are we amazed at that? Do we still stand amazed at the gospel and how it works? There was a saying in college we always said, the gospel works if you work the gospel. If you're actually going and sharing it, it's going to work because God's word will not return void. And do we stand amazed when another sinner bows his head to pray and beg God to save him? Do we stand amazed at the work that God does? Why should we make a big deal about it? Why should we stand in amazement? Because He hath done all things well. He maketh a deaf world to hear the gospel. And then He takes that same deaf world, once they've heard and have been healed, and makes their dumb mouth to speak the gospel. I say it often, I'm sure glad that God uses the foolishness of preaching. I know people that say, oh, you can't get saved in a Catholic church. You can't get saved in a Methodist church. You can't get saved in a Lutheran church. Yeah, I agree that some of those do not preach the gospel. But I know by the foolishness of preaching, God can stir anyone's heart for the gospel. You can get saved in any church just as much as you can in a Baptist church, because it's not the man behind the pulpit. It's the Savior. Because He hath done all things well. So much the more we need to publish it so we can stand amazed at the work that God does in a world that has never heard. And by hearing they shall speak, and by speaking more shall hear. But how shall they hear without a preacher? So much the more pray for the lost, lest they never hear, lest they remain ignorant, lest they willfully deny the gospel. As we talked about a few weeks ago, of the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son. So much the more watch for answered prayers and rejoice in them. And so much the more heed to the new charge of our Savior to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So much the more stand in amazement of what God has done for you. So much the more publish it. It says, but the more He charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. So much the more this world is going to, God given us a new charge to publish it. And so much the more this world is going to try and push back at it. So much the more the devil is going to try and take down these good, popular and nearly famous preachers to show the world that it's not worth it. Satan's going to use that. And so much the more we need to publish it, the more they charge us that I don't want to hear that. Stop shoving that stuff down my throat. Stop, you're just a Bible thumper. I don't want to hear it. But so much the more we need to publish it. So much the more we should have a compulsion to make the message known. We live in a lost and dying world, whose light has almost gone out. But I can tell you the light I don't want to see go out. The candle of Bethlehem Baptist Church. So much the more we need a compulsion to make it known. Though they may hurl back at us and say, I don't want to hear it, it should fire us up even more for the need of the gospel to a world that's never heard. Let's close in prayer. We'll have an invitation.